Good morning. Let me tell you about my experience running the Oxford Half Marathon back in 2017. Filled with energy and enthusiasm, I set off at quite an ambitious pace. But after mile 10 or so, it started to get really hard. I struggled on to about 12 and a half miles. My leg muscles were really tight and tired. My lungs were burning. And I just watched James Gilbert go past me and disappear up the road ahead. Even though I only had about half a mile left to run, I just couldn't keep going. I ground to a halt and had to stop and walk for a little bit. I wonder, what do you think you would have done in that situation? Would you give up easily? Maybe a bit like me? Would you just keep going and going, persevering until the bitter end? And what about in the Christian life? Do you ever wonder if you're going to keep going as a Christian? Have you ever felt like giving up? Or that you don't know how you're going to carry on trusting God in your present circumstances? How do we persevere in our Christian life? Well, we're 5 weeks into our Lent series, looking through the book of Hebrews. And the Bible Project video that you may have seen in the notices recently really clearly explains the structure of the letter. In the first 10 chapters, the writer shows us how supreme and superior Jesus is to anything else in the world. He is God's ultimate word, the best leader, the eternal priest, and the perfect sacrifice. And in each section, there are warnings against falling away and giving up on Jesus. Not to make us scared, but to challenge us to remain faithful to Jesus, even though it is hard. And that's the main focus of the final three chapters. Last week, in chapter 11, we looked at the great examples of faith in the Old Testament. And today, we're on to chapter 12. And you'll see in verse 1 that the Christian life is likened to a race. Not just any race, but a long, hard one. The word for race used in verse 1 is agona, from which we get the word agonizing. This isn't a gentle 100-meter jog. This is an agonizing marathon. And the goal isn't to break any time records. The goal for the Christian is to finish, to continue trusting God to the end of your life. By the way, if you are interested in that half marathon I mentioned earlier, I did manage to get going again, and I managed to finish the race. And so the big message is this: keep going. The writer says, run with perseverance and endure hardship. So let's have a look at these in turn. Firstly, verses 1 to 3, run with perseverance. How? By throwing off sin, remembering the saints, and looking to Jesus. We see in verse 1 that sin is pictured here as a weight or obstruction in this race that we're running. I'm sure that we all know the certain things that we are tempted to think, say, or do that we know don't please God. And they're described here as entanglements, things that will trip us up as we attempt to run the race for Jesus. What are the things that spring to mind for you? Maybe you know that you're really easily prone to unjustified anger. Or maybe lust is a real battle for you. Maybe you just can't keep yourself from gossiping. Or maybe you care so much about what others think that you end up doing or saying things you're later ashamed of. Whatever it is, the writer says, throw it off. Get rid of it. And it's not just sin, but anything that might get in the way of living for God. Sometimes when I go out for a run, it's cold and wet. I kind of want to wear a thick tracksuit, warm leggings, woolly hat and gloves. But I know that once I get running, I'm going to want to throw all of those things off. They'll get in the way and make it harder for me to run. And it's the same in the Christian race. Let us throw off everything that hinders. There are many things which in and of themselves aren't sinful, but when we begin to treat them as if they were God, when we begin to live for them, can stop us running the Christian race. And if it's going to hinder you in running the Christian race, the writer says, throw it off. Notice that this is an active thing. We need to actively take steps to avoid these hindrances tripping us up. So maybe we decline that promotion because we know it'll make us too exhausted to serve as we'd like to in church. Maybe we decide to limit our time with that particular group of people or stop doing that activity because we know that we'll be tempted to dishonour God. Now, these are wisdom decisions, but the writer says, throw off anything that hinders. So, throw off sin. Next, remember the saints. And by saints, I mean any Christian who's come before us. The instructions given in these few verses are, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Those great models of faith we heard about last week in chapter 11 are witnesses in the sense that they stayed faithful to God and trusted him even when they couldn't see everything. But there's also a sense that they are cheering us on in our Christian race, as if we're surrounded by a crowd lining the streets, encouraging the runners as they go by. Our Christian race is hard, agonisingly so. But it's not as if we're running a race that no one has ever finished. We can look back at these historical models of faith and keep persevering, knowing that since they finished the race, we can too. Thirdly, he says, look to Jesus. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Jesus is the ultimate model for us in running this race. He's the one who started it all, who acted to save us and bring us back into right relationship with God by his death on the cross. And he promises to change us to become like him, little by little. And the writer says, look at what he's done for you. And look at where you're headed. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus chose to die an agonizing death on the cross for us, in our place, so that we could have the certain hope of being with him in heaven. So when we get tempted to cling on to sin, when we feel like we'd really rather hang on to those things that we know will hinder us in the race, well, look to Jesus. Remember what he did for you. And remember where you're headed. How much money or stuff you had, how popular or successful you were, won't mean anything when we get to heaven. The important thing is to get there. To finish the race, trusting Jesus. Throw off sin, remember the saints, and look to Jesus. Run with perseverance. Next, and more briefly, verses 4 to 13. Endure hardship. A couple of chapters earlier, in chapter 10, verses 32 to 34, we get a clearer picture of the context that the Christians being addressed in this letter were in. They endured great conflict full of suffering. They were insulted and persecuted, imprisoned, and had their property confiscated. These people had suffered much for their faith, and it may have caused some to lose heart and stop running the race for Jesus. Now, the Bible has much to say about suffering as a whole, and I'm not going to do the topic justice in the short time we have this morning. But let's quickly look at what the writer to the Hebrews says about it in these verses. Look at verse 7, he says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children." I don't know about you, but when I face suffering, I'm sometimes tempted to think that God doesn't love me, or that God doesn't care about me. But here the writer says, hardship is a sign that God does love you, because he treats us as his children. And discipline is a way that parents show love to their children. Think back, if you're able, to those crazy times when we could take children to a soft play centre or to a toddler group. I've got a 3-year-old, and imagine that I've taken her to the toddler group here at church. Now, as I'm sitting there enjoying a coffee or a biscuit, if a random child wanders past and snatches a toy off someone else or pushes them over to get what they want, I'll probably just, you know, shrug my shoulders, judge them silently, and then just carry on what I'm doing. But if my daughter did that, then I'd be right in there to set her straight. And I do that because I love her, and I care about how she turns out. And it's the same with God. He loves us as his children. And the hardship we face for following Jesus shows that we are genuinely God's children. And God's discipline isn't like human discipline. I'm sure we can all think of situations when human discipline has been tainted with sin. And I'm aware that for some of us, thinking back to parental discipline is particularly painful. But God's discipline is perfectly loving. God's motive in discipline is love. And his purpose is our godliness. Look at verses 10 and 11. God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The purpose of this hardship or discipline is so that we can become more like Jesus. It's great that in our church family there are many older Christians who've persevered and run the race with Jesus for so long. I'm sure that if you ask them, they'll tell you that they've suffered much as they follow Jesus, but that God has used it for good, to make them more like Jesus. So endure hardship as discipline. God's motive is love, and his purpose is our godliness. The race we're running as Christians is hard, but let's not grow weary and lose heart. Let's keep on running this race together.